So let's read Psalm 3. I'm going to read the whole thing. It's short, just 8 verses, and then we'll walk through it section by section. Here's Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. Let's pray for wisdom. Father in heaven, we look to you this morning for wisdom as we turn to your word, that you would enlighten us, that you would lead us into all truth, that you would help us to see you, to savor you, and to glorify you through your word this morning. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Psalm 3 begins with this declaration of, oh, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Now, you might think, well, I don't know that's true of me. But if you are a believer, that is true of you. You have enemies, and they do surround you on a daily basis. Your enemies are the devil and the world and your own flesh. So if you think about it, the devil comes at us. He's the father of lies, right? He's the planter of the seed of doubt in our heads and our hearts. And so when it says, many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God, just translate that to your own context. When Satan comes at you and says, is God really good? If God was really good, why would he be allowing this? Is God really going to protect you and your family? Does God really care about you? If God cared about you, why would you be in this situation? So this is exactly what we actually all experience on a daily basis. We are surrounded by a world that disregards God and is organized in its rebellion against him. We deal with a flesh in our own heart and soul that is weak and that is unfaithful to God. And we deal with an enemy who throws those fiery darts at us, whether that's shame, you know, you're afraid. You shouldn't be afraid. You're a Christian. Oh, you call yourself a Christian and you're dealing with all this anxiety. What's wrong with you? I mean, this is the voice of the devil, basically saying different versions of there is no salvation for him in God. So this is our circumstance, not only today with this COVID quarantine, but it's our circumstance every day. And then that most wonderful, powerful word in the Bible, the late Dr. R.C. Sproul said the most important word in the Bible is but. Little word, B-U-T, but. But you, O Lord. So I'm surrounded by enemies. There are these doubts that people are throwing at my way. But you, O Lord. See, turning from the enemies, turning from the doubts, turning our attention to God, we get perspective on what is true. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. God's the one who protects us. God's the one who is our glory, the one who exalts us, and the one for whom we are exalted, the lifter of my head, the one who allows me to lift up my head off my pillow in the morning, the one who allows me to walk through the day with my head upright. God is all those things. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. God is our Father, and when we cry to him, he has promised to answer us. Verses 5 and 6, I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. That's true of us every day. Every day we wake up in the morning, we can say this verse, Psalm 3, verse 5. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. You're not an accident. You're not just a random collection of molecules that's being held together by fate and chance and time and gravity and just sort of blundering your way through life. You laid down last night and you slept and you woke up this morning again because the Lord has sustained you. I cried aloud to the Lord and he answered me. I'm sorry. I will not be afraid. Wrong verse. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. This is where we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid because we are in God's hands. So, like I said at the beginning, I hope that the reason why we're doing the COVID-19 quarantine is not because we're afraid and hiding, but because we are seeking to love our neighbor and be submissive to the authority God has placed over us in their wisdom of trying to take care of a large population of people with a highly infectious disease on the loose. So hopefully that's where our heart is. We're not afraid. We don't need to be afraid. Yes, we have enemies. I said at the beginning of this psalm, we have enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. They surround us and they're within us all the time, every day. If we focus on that reality, we can become afraid. If we focus on that reality, we can be paralyzed by fear. But David's running from Absalom. Almost all of Israel, almost all of the army of Israel is with Absalom. David has only his 300 men with him. And yet David says, I will not be afraid of the many thousands. And he literally was facing many thousands of people who were under the command of his son. And then the final prayer, save me, O God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Our enemies are real, but our enemies are only temporary enemies. That's the other perspective truth we need. So not only are we surrounded by enemies, but God is our shield and our glory and the lifter of our head, and therefore we do not need to be afraid because he answers us when we call. But also the truth is that our enemies are temporary enemies. Our flesh that rages against God will be done away with when we are in the resurrection life in the new heavens and the new earth. When this life is over and the life to come has come, we will be in a body that is free from sin and full of glory. The world as a rebellion against God is a temporary rebellion that Jesus has already defeated on the cross and that he will crush when he comes again. The devil who torments us and tempts us and causes us to doubt and be full of shame, he's headed for the lake of fire that burns forever. So our enemies are temporary enemies, but salvation belongs to the Lord. Our eternal salvation, but our salvation day by day, belongs to the Lord. And his blessing is indeed on his people. Well, that's Psalm 3. I hope it's a helpful encouragement to you. Let's spend some time now seeking the Lord's face in prayer. I don't know if you heard the news, but Prince Charles has COVID-19. He's 71 years old. It's hard to believe that Prince Charles is 71 years old. Seems like it wasn't that long ago that I remember being a kid and watching the royal wedding of Charles and Diana, and then Diana's been gone for years now. So anyway, we should be praying for Prince Charles, among others. It's a reminder that there are elderly people, older people, who are vulnerable populations and who are fighting COVID-19. Also want to be encouraging you to pray for our mission partners. We have mission partners in Uganda, northern Uganda, very close to the South Sudan border. I know I've been on the RAU compound in northern Uganda. You go out the front gate, you turn right on the dirt road, and the border's a mile down the road to South Sudan. President Museveni in Uganda has closed all the borders. That means there'd be soldiers stationed there, keeping guard over the border, just a sort of heightened tension. And I did hear from Jacob Lee, and he did say that there's heightened concern in the country, panic even. Today, I think, is the last day that they're going to allow bus trips, and bus tickets have doubled in price, and salt has quadrupled in price. So there's real fear. There are now 9 confirmed COVID cases in Uganda, and they don't have much of a healthcare system at all to really deal with this. And then Haiti, I don't know that there are any confirmed COVID cases in Haiti. That doesn't mean COVID's not in Haiti. It might just mean they don't have a way to test for it, really. So Jean-Paul in Haiti is our other mission partner. We need to be praying for him as well. So let's go to the Lord and pray to him. Heavenly Father, we come to you as your children. as the ones whom you have blessed. We look to you as our Father, the one who is our salvation, the one who is the shield around us, our glory and the lifter of our head. Salvation belongs to you, and your blessing is upon your people. Father, we thank you for these truths. We thank you that we were able to lay down and sleep last night, and we were able to wake up this morning because you have sustained us. You are good. Father, keep us from fear and anxiety. Keep us trusting in you and loving our neighbors and honoring those who are in authority over us. Keep us in a place where we can rest in you, where we can rejoice in you. Father, please be with Jacob and Carol Lee in northern Uganda as that country is going through massive uncertainty and fear, as there are people in the country who have tested positive for COVID. Father, we pray that you would keep the people in your peace, that they would look to you and trust in you. Most of the people in Uganda call themselves Christians. Father, I pray that you would have their hearts and that you would turn them to wisdom and to a dependency upon you. We pray for the people of Haiti, Father, and for Jean-Paul. We pray that you'd protect and that you would bless and that you would bring them through this crisis time by your grace. Father, we pray for our healthcare workers who are battling COVID on the front lines. I think of two men in our church, Dr. Jonathan Hansen and Sean Troutman, one of our elders, who are both healthcare workers who are dealing with long hours, a crazy schedule, lots of time away from their family. Pray that you'd strengthen them and sustain them. I pray that you'd give them your peace. And I pray that you'd be with their families. Be with Jonathan's wife, Erin, and their kids. Be with Sean's wife, Andy, and their kids. And Father, just help the church to rally around them and to support them and encourage them and whatever we can with this social distancing to help them through this time. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We do pray that you would protect those who are suffering and those who are vulnerable. And we pray for wisdom for our leaders. And we pray that your church would be a light to the world through this time. Even as we've shifted to this online environment for so much of our church activities, maybe it gives us an opportunity to reach some people who wouldn't ever come to church or come to a Bible study, but they might tune in to something that's live online. I pray that that might be the case and that many would come to know Christ through this time as they think about their own mortality, their own vulnerability, and their need to be right with you. We pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.